Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and here we go. Monomoy Girl turning for home in front. Midnight Bizou has taken second, and she's got dead aim at her if she's good enough as they come into the final furlong of the Coaching Club American Oaks. Monomoy Girl is in front. Midnight Bizou is all out second on the outside. Chocolate Martini is third. Monomoy Girl's got plenty left in the tank. Oh, what a fabulous filly she is! Monomoy Girl wins it by three. Midnight Bizou was no match for her today. Chocolate Martini was third. Eskimo Kiss is fourth. 150.46 the final time.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Jude Feld.
Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Jude Feld. On a Friday evening, we've got 12 races to go over this weekend on the Saturday and Sunday programs, including this year's version of the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks to be held tomorrow at Saratoga. We've also got several races on the Pimlico card tomorrow, a couple of big stakes at Del Mar, including the Grade 2 Eddie Reed. We're going to head up north to Woodbine for the Grade 2 Nasson. Three stakes on the Sunday programs, the Grade 3 Shuvi at Saratoga, and a couple of more stakes at Del Mar. Jude, welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview, my friend.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Beautiful day in the bluegrass, and looks like we got good weather for the weekend, so racing should be quite enjoyable.
We heard there on the intro the victory of by Monomoy Girl in the 2018 edition of the Coaching Club American Oaks. She would go on later that year to win her first Breeders' Cup distaff. Of course, she came back in 2020, won that race again, and we will see where we find Monomoy Girl next here in 2021. She began her 21 campaign with a win in the Grade 3 Biacoa, but was defeated in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom most recently. We'll see where Monomoy Girl shows up next. Don't forget the Naira Betts Travers Bankroll Builder is back this weekend. This Saturday, bet $50 on one horse to win the Coaching Club American Oaks at Saratoga. Win or lose, you get $20. Play all six Saratoga Bankroll Builder races with Naira Betts throughout the summer. Earn up to $120 in bonuses for the Run Happy Travers. You must opt in to qualify. If you're new to Naira Betts, sign up today with promo code HRRN200 and earn a $200 sign-up bonus. Start playing today at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Betts app. Okay, we are going to start our stakes journey this weekend at Saratoga, the Spa. They've got two big graded stakes on tap tomorrow, Jude, and including this year's version of the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks. Three-year-old fillies here, they go a mile and an eighth on the main track at Saratoga. A very short but sweet field of four lining up for this Grade 1 affair. And the reason the field is so short is the presence of this year's Kentucky Oaks winner, Malathat.
Yeah, she's a pretty nifty filly. Never been beaten, 5 for 5, made a million one so far. She has the best pace and speed figures on the Brisnet PPs. Looks very tough to beat. Johnny V from the rail. Johnny V's ridden her twice, so three times, and obviously won on all three because she's never been beaten. So he knows her well. Lots to like about her. The main competition probably comes from the four, Clairiere, who's had a couple of wins in her life, including a Grade 2 victory in the Rachel Alexandra at Fairgrounds. She's a curling filly, up-and-comer. She's out of Cavorting. Very, very nice mare. So she maybe has a say in the outcome. That looks like the race to me.
I think the most intriguing part of this race is figuring out who's going to make the lead. It may end up being the favorite Malathat, because the other three fillies really don't look like they have much speed at all. Clairiere looks like she's a stone closer, and that may be one of her biggest downfalls, if there is a downfall in the Coaching Club American Oaks. Both Maracuja and Rock Paper Scissors look like more stalking closing types. I mean, Rock Paper Scissors has been close to the lead in one of her races. They weren't really going all that fast early on that day. Maybe Johnny V just puts Malathat on the chooch and they just go.
Well, she did win the Tempted Stakes at Aqueduct. That's a one-turn mile. She went wire-to-wire, so that's pretty impressive to go wire-to-wire in a one-turn mile race. Usually those races favor closers, so she's got speed. She's by Curlin out of an AP Indy mare. Dreaming of Julia is her dam's name. You might remember her. So lots to like about Malathat, and one of the best things to like about her is Todd Pletcher, her trainer. How many great horses has he trained in his career? And he just loves this filly. So she's going to be, what,
yeah,
one to five, 2 to 5? What, she's going to be a really sharp.
She's 2 to 5 on the morning line. I think you're grasping at straws if you think you're going to get 2 to 5 on Malathat. She'll probably be 1 to 9 for most of the wagering, and those people who are interested in betting her might get lucky that she drifts up to 1 to 5 near post time. But that's about it. I think we both picked her on top. I guess if you're going to take a shot against her, if you're looking at the glass half-empty view for Malathat, the reasons to maybe try to beat her are, one, she is coming off clearly her best race in her career in that winning that Kentucky Oaks over Search Results. And a lot of times, especially with these younger fillies, when they run clearly their best race, they regress a little bit in their next start. Now, she's had plenty of time off since that race. It's not like she's coming back on 2 or 3 weeks off that big effort. But she's also never raced at Saratoga. So between those two things, I guess if you're looking at any reason to maybe try to beat her, maybe those weigh into it. But it sounds like both of us are not really willing to give that much as far as, we're really reaching to try to beat her. And by the way, although she's going to be a short price and probably too short to bet to win if you like her, being in race 5 on a big race day at Saratoga, it's actually part of 2 pick 5s tomorrow. Early pick 5, there's a middle pick 5, I believe, as well. So you'll have a chance to single her twice and maybe, get some prices somewhere else if you think Malathat is the way to go. So Malathat for both Jude and I in the, or Jude and me, rather, in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks. Much later in the afternoon, all the way to race number 10, is the Grade 3 Caress. And this is for fillies and mares sprinting 5.5 furlongs on the turf. There's a field of 6 set to go to post, Jude. Morning line favorite, well, there are 2 of them that are short on the morning line. Number 2, Robin Sparkles, is 6 to 5. Number 1, Caravelle, is 7 to 5.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a riot? The horses in the 2 worst post positions are the chalks. So we might look somewhere else. I know it's a short field, so maybe post isn't as significant as it is in 10 and 11 and 12 horse turf sprints at Saratoga. But usually the first 2 posts are not good. Jakarta's got the most speed on the outside. But she doesn't have a tremendous amount of finish. I went with the 5, Flower Point. Now, she's a closer, and it's not the percentage play, but she's good at the distance. She's got Joel Rosario, who really, the guy's a magician. I mean, some of the rides he puts up, especially in turf sprints, are ridiculous. So I settled on her. She's trained by Shug. She won her last start at Belmont going 7/8. She's shortening up quite a bit here, but she's done well at this distance. 6 starts, 2 wins, and a 3rd. So that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with number 5, Flower Point.
Okay, we're both actually going to take closers in this race. You went with the 5, the better price. I went with more of a chalky play in number 1, Caravelle, for Elizabeth Merriman and Irad Ortiz Jr. Irad's actually never been aboard this daughter of Mizzen Mast, and she's been running very well with riders not named Irad Ortiz. 6 wins and 2/3 from 8 career starts. Just hoping that Robin Sparkles and Jakarta kind of duel on the front end, and if they do, it will help both of our selections here. Obviously, if somehow Robin Sparkles clears Jakarta, she may be just long gone, but we're both thinking that that may not happen. So I'm going to go with number 1, Caravelle, who's trying for her 3rd win in a row. Jude going with Flower Point, jumping back up into the stakes competition after a win against Tough Allowance Competition in her most recent start. Let's head down to Baltimore and Pimlico, where they have four stakes on the Saturday card. And the first one goes as race two on the card, 1:09 post time Eastern time. And this is the Bald Eagle Derby, $100,000 purse for three-year-olds going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got another short field here, a field of six going to post. Number five, Wooten Asset, is coming out of some graded stakes in his last couple of starts back into just a listed stake, or rather an ungraded stake on Saturday.
Yeah, he looks very, very tough in here. He's by Wooten Bassett, who's really turned it on as a stallion in the last year or so. Last time out, he finished third in the Kent Stakes, beaten two lengths only. Before that, he ran in the Cecil B. DeMille Stakes at Del Mar. That's a grade three. Did not have a great trip that day and finished out of the money. But he looks like he's going to like the mile and a half. He's never run this far, so that's always a question mark. But he does have my top marathon figure, and those don't let me down very often. So I'm going to take Wooten Asset on top. I think Take Profit might be an interesting horse for your exactas. He's another one. He's never gone this far. But Jeremiah O'Dwyer is a very good trainer. He's an Irish guy. He knows his way around marathon racing. And I think he's got a big shot at possible upset here. So for me, it's going to be 5-1.
Okay, I agree with number five, Wooten Asset, putting him on top for everything that you said. I think he's bred to run forever with all that European breeding on both top and bottom side. I thought the best chance of beating him was with the kind of unknown number six, Experienced, who is inexperienced compared to the others in this field. Just one career start and came from well out of it to get up in the final jump in his debut at Delaware Park. He's another one that's bred to run all day, being by Temple City out of a Nureyev mare. Just don't know if he's quite good enough to face horses with experience like Wooten Asset has just yet. So Jude and I both taking Wooten Asset in the Bald Eagle Derby. Jude likes 5-1. I like 5-6. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll have the Blood Horse News update, and we'll continue at Pimlico. They've got three more stakes on the Saturday card. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Here comes Caribou Club, fourth and now third, and taking aim at the leaders at the top of the stretch, six furlongs, a minute 9.52. It is Glorious Empire, Caribou Club with a full charge up on the outside now. Caribou Club keeps on coming. Glorious Empire is trying to stay, and Just Howard down on the inside and up the end. He's right there too, and a late run from Frontier Market. Frontier Market closing fast. Caribou Club's coming away with the lead. Caribou Club holding to win it by a head. From Frontier Market, it was second. And then it was Cullum Road in third and up the ante and Just Howard.
Dave Rodman on the call of the 2019 BWI Turf Cup won by Caribou Club. Very impressive win that day and a good call by Dave Rodman. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld here on a Friday evening going over all of the weekend action that's fit to print as far as racing goes, stakes racing in this country. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Naira establishing due process criteria for suspensions. Ruling in Baffert case opens the door for a policy to protect the sport's integrity. Though off-suspended trainer Marcus Vitali was able to run a horse at Saratoga on July 22nd, the New York Racing Association may soon have a process in place so it could bar trainers with checkered histories and numerous drug violations in their career. As a result of Judge Carol Bagley-Amon's ruling in the trainer Bob Baffert suit over his temporary suspension by Naira, Naira is currently putting together a structure so that it can bar individuals from racing and its three tracks for proper cause and expected to have them in place in the near future. Quote, Naira is absolutely committed to protecting and enhancing the integrity and safety of the sport. In light of the recent federal court decision, Naira is establishing a due process mechanism will allow it to take action against individuals whose conduct is contrary to the best interests of thoroughbred racing, said Naira's Senior Director of Communications, Pat McKenna. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Blood Horse branded weekly programs showcasing the thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recapping recent stake races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, and more. The new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. And Jude, I think we can all agree that Naira going through the process of putting due process together so, you know, they don't have to worry about being overturned and, you know, making sure things are done correctly and fairly and equally to everyone involved. I think everyone would agree this is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, due process is very important in our country, and the way things have been handled lately really don't coincide with that. So I think it's a move in the right direction, and we'll see what happens.
If you want to read more about what's going on with the due process, if that makes sense, at Naira, simply go to bloodhorse.com. It is right there, smack dab in front of your face. Okay, back on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. We're staying in Baltimore. Three more stakes to cover on tomorrow's Pimlico card, their fourth race, the $100,000 Sensible Lady Turf Dash. These are fillies and mares sprinting five furlongs on the turf. A field of seven set to go to post. And the morning line maker having trouble in this race, probably because he's looking at the same past performances that I'm looking at. The slight favorite is number four, So Gracious. She's 3-1. But number five, Golden Can, is 7-2. Number two, What a Trick, is 4-1. The one Flying on the Ground is 9-2. Six, Can the Queen, is 5-1. Three, Dendrobia, 6-1. So what the morning line maker in Baltimore is telling you is this race is wide open.
Yeah, it certainly is, although I think the morning line maker came up with the right horse in number four, So Gracious. She's a daughter of Spitestown out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. So right there, that's got to tell you that she's bred to be a Sports Illustrated bikini model or something. She's probably one of the best-looking fillies of all time. I mean, those two stallions are ridiculously handsome. And Mike Ryan is the owner. Mike Ryan, if you don't know who he is, he's a bloodstock agent. Maybe, well, let's say arguably the best bloodstock agent in the country. The guy just has tremendous talent. He's bought a multitude of stakes winners. He owns this one. Brittany Russell trains. She's not doing any good. She's only winning at 24% on the year. So lots of things to like. She's got her husband, Sheldon Russell, riding, and that's where I went. I mean, to me, she's a pretty good thing at 3-1.
By the way, it's kind of a segue there. I wonder if we can eventually get Mike Ryan on one of our race day programs and maybe interview him and find out what goes into the process or the thought of, you know, which do you want to keep and which are you buying for clients? Because it's not very often that you see bloodstock agents owning horses just by themselves. So maybe he saw something that he really liked with this daughter of Spitestown. I went just inside of her with number 3, Dendrobia. I just think she's been facing a little bit stronger competition than what she's going to face tomorrow. Now, she hasn't been beating that better competition, but she does have a couple of decent efforts. Last time out, in fact, she ran very well against Elination in the Jamila at Pimlico, going 5/8, came from way out of it to finish only a half a length back. And there is some speed, as you would expect, in the Sensible Lady Turf Dash tomorrow. I think if they really go on early, then somebody like Dendrobia could come closing. Your number 4, So Gracious, is another one. These two really want them to hit up front so the pace is honest and the closers have a chance. Jude going with number 4, So Gracious. I went with number 3, Dendrobia, in a wide-open rendition of the Sensible Lady Turf Dash. Race 6 on the card, $100,000 Big Dreyfus Stakes. These are fillies and mares going 1 1/8 on the turf. 6 of them set to go to post, and heavy favorite on the morning line is the Chad Brown trainee, number 2, Counterparty Risk.
Yeah, you know, got to wipe the chalk off my face, but she has my top turf figure. Her last race was good June the 20th at Monmouth Park in the Eatontown Stakes. She finished third, beaten 2 3/4 lengths. Fergal Lynch gets aboard. He's been doing very well since he's come back off of injury, and we're happy to see him back doing as well as he did when he left. That's not easy to do for jocks. This is the daughter of Australia, who you may have seen on social media as having a tremendous as a stallion. So there's some things to like about Counterparty Risk, the price not being one of them. The other horses, I think, Sister Hanan on the outside, Ben Colbrick's horse, she looks like she might have a chance, a daughter of Orb, and then Nomo Lady inside of her, the 5, for Michael Trombetta. This mare has an in-the-money finish at Pimlico and can handle the distance, so that's how I see the race. 2, 6, and 5, but I really like the 2.
Okay, I'm gonna try number 5, Nomo Lady. I think that she's been facing, like Counterparty Risk, she may have been facing a little bit stronger competition than what she's going to see tomorrow. She's raced at Pimlico once in her career. She caught a yielding turf in the Grade 3 Gallarette last year, did not have a clean trip that day, and still finished third, only beaten about 3 lengths by Juliet Foxtrot, who would be about 4-5 if she were in this race today. Since then, even though she's not necessarily always running against stakes fields or in stakes races, she's been facing stakes caliber competition, fillies like Beautiful Lover and Call Me Love in her last 2 starts at Belmont Park. Like the fact that she's run well at Pimlico already, like the fact that Julian Pimentel has ridden her several times, and I'm a Mike Trombetta fan. I don't know what it is, but I'm just drawn to his horses. In inordinate amount of time, it seems like when he has a one in the race, and it's not me looking for Mike Trombetta and saying, oh, and trying to talk myself into liking his horses. It just, for some reason, they make sense to me a lot of the time, and I think No Mo Lady fits right in there. I don't have anything negative to say about Counterparty Risk. She figures tough, and obviously anytime Chad Brown sends horses out, they're tough. I will say this, though. For as strong an outfit as Chad Brown's is, he is not having the greatest luck at Pimlico thus far. 7 starters at this Pimlico meet, no wins, no second place finishes, and just 1/3. So looking to get off the schneid in 2021 at Pimlico is Chad Brown. Jude going with Counterparty Risk. I'll take number 5, No Mo Lady. 8th and featured event at Pimlico tomorrow is the Grade 3 Baltimore Washington International Turf Cup. And I hope Dave Rodman doesn't have to just say it like that during the race. Can he just say BWI? Seem like it would be much easier. $200,000 on the line. 3-year-olds and up. They go 1 mile on the turf. Very talented field of 6 set to go to post. And Mike Maker's Field Pass drawn inside as the 8-5 favorite.
Yeah, that's kind of curious that horse would be as short a favorite as he is. Certainly has a chance. I mean, this is a wide open race. I think every horse in the race has a chance to win. You know, English B hasn't won a race in a long time, but he had a terrible trip last time. I mean, that was just a horrible, horrible run he had. He can improve off of that race. He's not my top pick. My top pick is Ramsey Solution, Wesley Ward's gelding. He's a 5-year-old. He's got some really good turf numbers. He likes to win races. He's won 5 out of 10 lifetime, finished 1st or 2nd 7 out of 10. So there's consistency there. Michael Sanchez, his jockey, is as good as it gets. He rides tracks, Delaware parks, all over the place. He's a Pimlico for this weekend. So, I mean, you know, I think there's a chance that we could see an upset here, but Ramsey Solution's not going to be a big price, but I think he's got a good chance.
All right, Ramsey Solution 5-2 on the morning line for Jude. I did select the favorite, number 1 Field Pass. I think that when he's not running well, he's just facing way too tough a competition. Horses like Gufo and Channel Cat and Raging Bull and even Domestic Spending last year. And by the way, when I say not running well, it's not like he's getting drubbed by these good horses. He's only beaten about 3 lengths by horses like Raging Bull and Domestic Spending. And what prices would those horses be if they were in this race? None of those types are in here. Yes, it's a talented field. Pixelate is very good. Ramsey Solution is very good. But I think Field Pass fits right like a glove in with this spot. He's been running in grade 1s and grade 2s his last 4 starts. The last time he ran in a grade 3, he won in the Ontario Derby up at Woodbine. I'll look for Field Pass to get back to the winner's circle in the grade 3 BWI Turf Club tomorrow at Pimlico. That wraps up our action on the East Coast. When we come back, we'll head out west and we'll head north of the border for some stake racing. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
They come into the top of the lane now in the Eddie Reed. Along the inside, it's Fed Biz. Slim Shady right there. Now here comes Fly, Lexus Fly. And Fly, Lexus Fly coming to look for the lead on the outside. Verracci now comes out too, and Verracci comes to chase them home. Vagabond Shoes and Geronimo joins the fray late, suddenly wide open. Here's Geronimo down the center of the track, getting a perfect hand ride. So fast, has come out of nowhere too. But Geronimo, absolutely perfectly ridden by Rafael Bejarano. And Geronimo wins the Erie Reed. Vagabond Shoes was second. Fly, Lexus Fly holds on to third.
The always pleasurable Trevor Denman calling the 2013 edition of the Eddie Reed, won by the 7-year-old Geronimo. Boy, Trevor loves those hand rides. He should be calling the races at Monmouth, should Trevor Denman. there is no announcer that makes a bigger deal about a hand ride than Trevor Denman. He loves that, and that was a great ride by Rafael Bejarano. Mike Pender, the trainer of Geronimo. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Jude Feld on a Friday. And we will head out to Del Mar now to talk about the Eddie Reed. It's race 8 on the Del Mar card tomorrow. This is a race that's taken place since back in 1974. It became a graded race in 1980. It was a grade 1 race forever, from like 88 until about 2015, just the last 5 years. It's back down to a grade 2, but look at some of the names that have won this race, Jude. I mean, one of my favorite horses of all time, an unsung horse for Eddie Gregson, Tsunami Slew, won this race. Al Mamoon, Marquetry, Coda Shan, Fastness won the race twice. Ladies Din, Redditory, Special Ring won the race twice. Acclamation won the race twice. You heard it there with Geronimo. And we have last year's champ, United, trying to defend his crown tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, why not? He's a very good horse. Unfortunately, he didn't have a four-horse race. Eddie Delahousie told me one time, you know, you can get more trouble in a small field than you can in a large one. And that was after he got beat in a six-horse field at San Ede on the favorite that I saddled. And he had a rough trip that day. That was the second time he got me fired. He got me fired twice, but that was the second time. Anyway, Eddie and I, we've been friends a long time, but he taught me a lot, and that's one of the things he taught me. Short fields, you can expect some trouble. United did not have the best of trips. You know, it's hard to even gauge a four-horse field in a mile-and-a-quarter race, what to do with them, but you know, he's a good horse. He's got a great trainer. He worked 58-4 on July the 18th, 6 days ago. So he's at the top of his game. You know, Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandel is not going to run him unless he's, you know, loaded for bear. Flavian Pratt sticks along. Why wouldn't he? He's arguably the best horse in the race. But there's a lot of contention in here. Say the Word has a chance. Count Again has a chance. Smooth Like Straight, he's been running great for Mike McCarthy. Restrained Vengeance, I think, has a shot. It's a really good race. This is an excellent edition of the Eddie Reed, which is, you listed off some of the winners. I mean, they're like the who's who, and a lot of great trainers have won this race multiple times. So it's going to be a tough race, an exciting race, eighth race on the card, and I'm going to go with Richard Mandela and United.
Okay, so United actually the second choice on the line at 5-2. The morning line favorite is number 6, Smooth Like Straight, who is coming off a win in the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile last time out. Despite that win, I think he's capable of better than that, and he's run very well at Del Mar in the past. He's obviously a contender. I agree number 3, Say the Word, is dangerous, and he may be a little bit overlooked in the wagering. He's had the misfortune of finishing second to both Smooth Like Straight and United in races already this year. I don't really think he's that far behind those horses, and I think he's going to be a much better price. So I'm going to put Say the Word on top in the Eddie Reed tomorrow. Before we move on to the next race, I got to ask you, 1991, the Eddie Reed was won by Tight Spot. Is that the race where there was all sorts of mishaps and inquiries going on in that race?
You know, I don't know.
I vaguely remember, like, maybe Tight Spot coming over from an outside post in that shoot from a mile and an eighth, and maybe bothering other horses, and maybe there wasn't a takedown.
Was that a Vern Winchell horse?
It's Vern Winchell, Frank Witham, Anderson and Corradini, McAnally trained Pinkeye Road.
Okay.
For some reason, Tight Spot at Del Mar rings a bell as there was something that happened in a race.
Okay. Well, let me look here. I'm looking it up.
I'll let you look at that while we get back to it. So that Jude's going to look that up. That was the 1991 edition of the Eddie Reed 30 years ago. I think I'm right on that. I think if we can get the chart for that 1991 edition, I think I'm right. By the way, the Eddie Reed, not the only graded stake on the card tomorrow at Del Mar, race 10 on their program, another Grade 2 event. This is the $200,000 San Clemente Stakes. These are three-year-old fillies going 1 mile on the turf. Big field of 12 set to go to post, and despite that big field, we're going to have a big favorite. Number 2, Going Global. She just never loses.
Yeah, she's got a big chance. You know, she's won, what, 5 in a row now? 5 in a row. So, you know, she looks good. She's got a 95 racing post rating. That's good enough to win a Grade 3 usually. This is a little bit of a step up to a Grade 2. She's won a Grade 3 here. But she certainly has the class and ability. Doesn't have a lot of competition. I thought Closing Remarks might have a shot. She's got Rispoli, and it's Carla Gaines, but drew a bad post for a mile, drew the outside post. And then Madone is a filly that interests me. She's had some good races in her career. Her last race was a kind of a bust in the Hollywood, but she could rebound for Simon Callahan, who certainly knows his way around winning stakes.
Yeah, both of those fillies you mentioned have already faced Going Global at least once and not fared very well, although Closing Remarks was second to Going Global twice this year, beaten less than a length both instances. You mentioned she doesn't have the best post position, whereas Going Global is down on the inside, which is great for her. Madone was only 2-1 against Going Global last time out. In the Honeymoon, Going Global that day was 4-5, and I believe Madone was the second choice at 2-1, and Madone just didn't show up at all that day. It was really a clunker and a head-scratcher if you were a Madone backer. So I guess if you could find some excuse for that race and draw a line through it, if people thought she was good enough to be 2-1 against Going Global once, if she had an excuse last time out, you're going to get a much better price tomorrow. She's 4-1 on the morning line. I think she will be at least that price at post time. So I picked Going Global on top. Are you trying to beat her?
She's my top pick, Going Global. But, you know, if she gets to be too short of a price, I might try Madone. I think that filly's got a little something in the tank. You know, she showed me a bit in her career, and I think she could improve off her last race. I mean, sometimes fillies are funny. They just have an off day, and they throw in the towel, and they come back, and they're fine. It looks like, you know, she's had some nice breezes since she ran. She's had some time off, which never hurts. So there's a few things to like about her. But I think going global is going to be super tough. But I'm kind of tiring of picking the favorites.
Listen, you can only pick who you think's going to win the race. By the way, did we find out anything about that 1991 Eddie Reed?
Well, there's no chart comment on the chart of Equibase, but it looks like the horse had a relatively clean trip. Now, I was wondering, the horse ran, we're talking about tight spot, ran in the Eddie Reed in his last start and finished fourth. That was in 1982, the following year. So let's pull that one up and see what it looks like. Again, no chart comment, and he ran fourth that day, got beat a nose ahead and four lengths. So
all right, so just bad information from me all the way around.
Not necessarily so. Just we don't have complete information to verify your thoughts.
Okay. Well, let's go north of the border to Woodbine for their big stake race tomorrow. And their stake is the Grade 2 Nassau, $175,000 for fillies and mares going a mile on the turf. Don't forget, it is a one-turn mile on the turf at Woodbine. And we have a SoCal Invader heading up there. Jolie Olympica, formerly trained by Dick Mandela, now in the Josie Carroll barn, and she is the 5-2 favorite on the morning line.
Yeah, Jolie Olympica is a very talented filly. She's got good speed. I think, just my opinion, it looks like maybe they went to Woodbine because they can use Lasix up there in this race, because the filly's gotten beat twice without Lasix, and her wins, her last two wins have come with Lasix, so that might be a factor. Josie Carroll, of course, Hall of Fame trainer, fantastic job all the time. I mean, one of the classiest ladies you'll ever want to meet, and just really knows how to train a horse. I think Jolie Olympica will be tough. I took Honey Cake, number 9. This is a Irish bred filly by Siouni, who's coming in from France for Jonathan Thomas. Has some excellent works, and Thomas's figures with this type of horse are very good. 26% off the layoff, 25% with shippers to the U.S., 17% first start with trainer, 14% first time going long. I mean, She's run a mile in France a couple times to no avail. She's been best going 7/8, but that's a lot different than running in North America. So I took her. She's got 100 racing post rating. She should be okay to win this race.
Okay, so you went with the price this time. I'll take the chalk this time. I think Jolie Olympica has been facing tougher competition. I agree with you. Maybe she just wants the Lasix, or where she can run on it. I think she'll like that one-turn mile up at Woodbine. A reminder, the Naira Betts Travers Bankroll Builder is back this weekend. This Saturday, bet $50 on one horse to win the Coaching Club American Oaks at Saratoga. Win or lose, you get $20. Play all 6 Saratoga Bankroll Builder races with Naira Betts throughout the summer and earn up to $120 in bonuses for the Run Happy Travers. You must opt in to qualify. If you're new to Naira Betts, sign up today with promo code HRRN200 and earn a $200 sign-up bonus. Start playing today at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Betts app. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll look at 3 of the Sunday races. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. This weekend's races feature the Grade 2 Nassau Stakes for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, going 1 mile on the turf course. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com. That's woodbine.com.
Racing is back at Colonial Downs July 19th through September 1st with top-class racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Large fields and premier dirt and turf courses will give bettors plenty of opportunities for great value and big payouts, and horsemen will love the average purses of $500,000 per day. With a beefed-up stakes schedule and generous guarantees for owners and trainers, Colonial Downs is the place to race and wager this summer. Learn more at colonialdowns.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Latruska, in the meantime, has a 4.5 length lead at the top of the stretch, ran 3/4 in 109.2. It's Latruska in front as they come down for the eighth pole. Then it's our Super Freak, Royal Flag, and on the outside it is Golden Award. Latruska trying to take them the entire 9-furlong distance. She's still in front. It's Latruska by a little more than 2. Then our Super Freak, Royal Flag, one last try at the rail. Latruska did it in front-running fashion. Latruska over Royal Flag and our Super Freak.
John Imbrial on the call of the 2020 Shoe V, won in wire-to-wire fashion by Latruska. She's a better filly now, or rather a better mare now in 2021 than she was even in 2020, and that's saying something. She may be the best female dirt horse out there, at least, you know, that she's in the argument. She's very, very good, and although Latruska isn't in the Shoe V this year, the filly who finished just behind her last year, Royal Flag, is back. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld on a Friday, and taking a look at the feature Sunday at Saratoga, the Grade 3 Shoe V. It's their ninth race on the card, $200,000 for fillies and mares, going a mile and an eighth on the main track, 7 of them set to line up. And as I mentioned, Royal Flag, second to Latruska last year, no Latruska in the field this year. Is it just as simple as this is the year that Royal Flag gets to the winner's circle?
She's got a chance. I mean, you know, this is a race that there's a lot of nice fillies. I went with Chad's other filly, if you want to call her that, Dunbar Road. I'm a big fan of Dunbar Road. I've seen her run some amazing races. I think she's got a ton of talent. She's running fresh. She hasn't been out in a while. And that's probably a good thing. She had a 59-4 work on July 11th at Belmont. You know, I'm sure she's been pointing to this race. Irod sticks with her. That's where I went. But I could see Royal Flag absolutely being tough. Crystal Ball being tough. Antoinette. I mean, you know, this is a nice race.
All right, so you're going with Dunbar Road, who, by the way, is one of our friend Anthony Stabile's favorite mares. Now, he really loved her when she was doing all the winning back in 2019 and even parts of 2020, but she's had a little bit of a tougher time of it in her last three starts, disappointed in the Beldame back last year as the even money favorite. I loved her on Derby weekend in the Grade 1 La Troyenne. I thought that she was a kick in the pants against She Dares the Devil and En Voutante, and she had what I thought was a good trip and just came up completely empty. I don't know what it was that day. Maybe it was her first time running without Lasix that hurt. Unfortunately for her, she doesn't get to race on Lasix Sunday either, but she's had time off. Maybe she had an excuse that day. I don't know. Royal Flag, though, is a model of consistency. 9 career starts, and she's hit the board all 9 times. 4 wins, 3 seconds, 2/3 to her credit. As I mentioned, she was second last year in this race to Latruska, coming off a second-place finish to Bonnie South in the Grade 3 Double Dog Dare last time out, running without Lasix. So she doesn't need to take her track with her. She doesn't have to run on Lasix to run good races. She's proven at this mile and an eighth distance. And one of your favorites, Joel Rosario, back aboard for Chad Brown. Chad Brown has him kind of surrounded in this race. By the way, we didn't even mention Gold Spirit, who's a first-timer in the country from South America, who Chad Brown also has. So he sends out three of the seven runners in the race. You and I both like Chad Brown runners. Jude going with Dunbar Road. I am sticking with Royal Flag, who I assume will be favored in the Grade 3 Shuvi on Sunday. We're going to head back out west. They've got two Sunday stakes at Del Mar, starting with their seventh race. It's the $80,000 Daisy Cutter. These are fillies and mares going five furlongs on the turf. Big field set to go to post, 10 of them with a couple of AEs. A lot of speed in the field. Where'd you land, Jude?
I landed with number two, Corel, Pete Miller's mare. She's a closer. There is a lot of speed. I think it's going to set up nice for a horse coming from off the pace. This mare likes Del Mar. She's three for four in the money, including a win. She likes the distance. She's three wins, three places, and six starts at the distance. So lots of things to like about her. She's got Juan Hernandez on her. That's a stable go-to guy for Pete Miller. They're winning at an 18% clip. So that's where I went. She's got a great post. She's drawn inside. She should be okay. If she gets a clear running lane in the stretch, she'll be tough.
Well, we're on the same one. I think we're handicapping the same way here, just figuring that there's plenty of speed and that somebody should have a chance to close in this race. The fillies and mares that have the most speed, number one, Bulletproof One, who hasn't raced in September of last year, she's actually beaten Corel already at Del Mar in the past. She went wire to wire and won by almost three lengths, and Corel just didn't have anyone to do any dirty work and bother Bulletproof One on the front end that day. Could be different on Sunday. In addition to Bulletproof One, the 7-5 Picks Please has made the lead every time that she's gotten out of the gate. The only time she didn't make the lead is when she stumbled and unseated the rider coming out of the gate in her debut at Indiana Grand. Rakasa is very fast. She's always a pace-pressing type. And even John Sadler's lightly raced Bruja Escarlata, a daughter of Street Boss, has a lot of speed. She's undefeated coming into the race. I had it between the one Bulletproof One, the two Corel, and Bruja Escarlata. But for the same reasons you said, I landed on Corel. I just think she's got to have a chance to close Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the race really sets up for a closer with all that speed. And we're talking fillies that are fast. I mean, the pace should be good. Now, watch what will happen. A bunch of jocks will take back. Somebody will get an easy lead, you know, wire to wire. That's usually what happens when you're thinking the other way. But, yeah, I think Corel's got a big chance. Good barn, nice horse, good jockey.
Well, I don't know about, you know, it is only 5/8, so I understand what you're saying about, you know, that we handicap it one way and you think there's four or five speeds and somebody ends up clearing the field and you're just scratching your head and you go back and look at your PPs and say, what was I looking at that nobody else was looking at in this race? I don't think there's any way for number one Bulletproof One to go other than to the lead. She's made the lead in her last nine races in a row. Now, I will say this. 10 races ago, she came from off the pace and almost won the Speakeasy at Santa Anita. That was when she was a 2-year-old. I think from the rail, Ricardo Gonzalez just has to gun this daughter of Idiot Proof. And you know what? Let's not forget that Peter Miller trains both the one Bulletproof One and number two Corel. And you would think that he would want one to go and one to close. So the one's going, the two's closing. We'll see if somebody bothers the one and sets it up for the two, or if they let number one Bulletproof One just go and make her way all the way around the track. Peter Miller's one of those trainers that when he sends them off extended layoffs like this, you really don't worry about it. They're usually fit and ready to go, and that could be the case once again in the Daisy Cutter. Final race we're going to look at is race 9 on the Sunday Del Mar card. It's the restricted California Dreamin' Stakes, $150,000 purse, part of the Golden State Series. They're Cal-bred or Cal-sired 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Pretty big field, 10 of them going to post, and tough race to handicap here, Jude.
Yeah, it is. It's a very interesting race, Cal-breds and mile and a 16th on the grass. You know, anybody that follows me on social media knows I like to hashtag old guys rule. And I'm going with an old guy here, 8-year-old Ward and Jerry, number 6. This horse is a presser. He should get a good trip under Trevor McCarthy. He's got my top turf figure. He certainly has the credentials to win. There's several ways to go in here, but I like the way he's drawn, you know, kind of midfield, and Mike Pipey's having a great year, so I like that. All in all, he checks a lot of boxes for me, as the bloodstock agents say, so I went with Ward and Jerry.
Okay, Ward and Jerry getting Trevor McCarthy aboard, figures to come from off the pace. One of the horses that he would probably have to pass is my top selection, number 2, Wound Tight for Bob Hess Jr. and Kent DeSormo. Boy, those guys have been teaming up seemingly forever, especially at Del Mar, definitely for at least 30 years or so. And Wound Tight has been sprinting in his last two starts, but he's run very well around two turns, including at Del Mar in the past. 4 career starts on the turf at Del Mar, 2 wins, a second and a third to his credit. This will be his second start off a very long layoff. I think he'll be better now than he was last time out in the Siren Lure. And if he doesn't get in a really tough speed duel up front, Wound Tight, I think, could be very, very tough in the California Dreaming. I know a mile and a 16th may be just pressing it for him, but you know what? He's won at a mile and an 1/8 in the past. I think he's more of a miler, but like I said, if he gets the right trip, I think a mile and a 16th is well within his scope. Okay, that wraps up all 12 on the Weekend Stakes Preview. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Do, 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 do. Isn't that how it goes?
Okay, well, we'll assume that the music played. That's all right. Jude, where do you go for your best bet?
I'm going to go to the Eddie Reed, and I'm going to take number 2, United.
Okay, United to defend his crown, win the race for back-to-back years. Flavien Prat, who seems to always ride United, back aboard again. That's Jude's best bet. I am going to go to Pimlico, and a horse that you didn't even pick on top, and that is in the BWI Turf Cup, a Grade 3 event for a mile on the turf. I think number 1 Field Pass has this field where he wants them. He's been tussling with Grade 1 and Grade 2 caliber competition his last 4 starts, really not disgracing himself. Back in a Grade 3, he's a multiple Grade 3 winner. He's drawn well down on the inside. I think Field Pass is going to get back into the winner's circle in the Grade 3 BWI Turf Cup Saturday at Pimlico. All right, that wraps up this edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. A reminder, tomorrow, the show that started the network, the Equine Forum, is back, and Mike Penna back in action, 8 to 11 Eastern time, and a big show, as always, tomorrow. Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela looks ahead to United's title defense. Saturday's Grade 2 Eddie Reed at Del Mar. Saratoga Specials' Tom Law comes on the show and talks about Saratoga's races. Pimlico analyst Naomi Tucker previews the huge Saturday card at Pimlico. And Michael visit with Owner Views' Gary Falter, as well as Nancy LaSala from the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. Plus Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne. In the Room with Sean Clancy, a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane Zen and Keeneland, and our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. By the way, if there was ever a segment that was aptly named. It is a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, because I've never seen Kurt do anything but stroll. He doesn't. if it was either going to be a saunter through racing history or a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, and I imagine him wearing that parka vest thing that he seems to wear everywhere.
Well, he always reps Keeneland. He's usually in something with the Keeneland horse on it. And Kurt, he's a great guy. He's very mellow. We enjoy listening to him.
Well, Jude, we had a lot of fun. Thanks for filling in for the Big A, who, of course, will be back next week. And look forward to more shows with you, my man. And, of course, down the line, our Breeders' Cup Countdown shows live from Del Mar. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's going to be a blast.
All right, everyone. That's been this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Have a great weekend. Don't forget about the Equine Forum tomorrow, 8 to 11 Eastern Time. And, of course, Anthony and I will be back next Wednesday with Race Day from 3 to 6 Eastern. Good night, everyone.